Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to worship. It is looking like spring outside. No snow. We had our one day of spring and have gone instantly into summer, and we celebrate the warmth and the beauty. But we are also in the midst of COVID, and so we are once again gathering in our dining room to worship wherever we are. Our theme is exile, because COVID feels like exile. We are away from what we are used to. We are away from the churches we love, the people that we want to be able to touch and hug and sing with and pray with. We are here, and we are church wherever we are. If this is your first time joining us, my name is Mitchell Hay, and I am the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church. And Barb, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. And I'm Barb Lemmel. I'm the interim pastor at the United Community Church in Morrisville. And it's good to have all of you with us from both those congregations and from beyond.
If you got our bulletin via email or via the Facebook page, I invite you to follow along with our call to worship that we'll be sharing out loud. This week, we were told that churches are essential. We already knew that. We were told that churches should reopen, but we know that the church has never closed. Only our buildings are closed. Our gathering here in spirit, in love, and in truth show that. I invite you to a call to worship. In the sacred silence, in the desperate prayer, in the abiding peace, God is here.
In the heartfelt confession, in the cleansing cheer, in the bold affirmation, God is here.
In the moving spirit, in the understood sigh, in the welcome singing, God is here.
In the stirring challenge, in the responding the responding cry, in the deep commitment, God is here.
And we are here too.
Fully and openly and faithfully.
Amen. Amen.
Join your spirits with me as I share this prayer from Sophia Fossa in our opening to God. Abba God, protect those in your name that you have given me, so they may be one as we are one. These are Jesus' words. God, we long to be a people worthy of your name, to embrace the stranger, to love lepers into wholeness, to comfort the motherless and the fatherless. God, how we long to shed our shame over those we ignore, over those we silence, over those we slandered and those we slaughtered. Oh God, how we long to be one with you in love for all people, one with each other in fellowship and witness, one in with creation in praising your name. Loving God, satisfy your longings. Loving God, satisfy our longings to fulfill your longings in Jesus' prayer. Amen. And my addendum to that prayer would be that nothing praises God's name quite like the green that is on the hills in Vermont in the spring. This is the time of year when I realize that I've been starved for color for months. And so now we will have a reading from Jeremiah 29 with Hope Sturdivant.
Reading this morning is from the Hebrew scripture, Jeremiah 29. These are the words of the prophet Jeremiah, sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope."
Thank you, Hope. Our reading from the New Testament comes from the first chapter of the book of Acts. And Dana will be reading this. Dana is our soloist at church, and she'll be sharing this experience of the infant church from the book of Acts.
Good morning, everyone. This is from the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
Thank you, Dana, so much. The reading that Dana just read is one that I used to have not a problem with, but I used to get stuck. This idea of Jesus on an express elevator or strapping on his jetpack and rocketing up somewhere. I think it bothered me because it assumes this ancient cosmology where heaven is up there and earth is here and hell is down there. But in reality, there's no geographic heaven, or else the people in Australia are going to be going a very different direction from the rest of us when it comes to that time. Vermont and Australia will have very different realities. Actually, Australia and Vermont do have very different realities, so I guess that works out. But what brings me back to this reading and makes it powerful for me is The angels, or as Luke describes them, the two men in white robes, when they see the disciples staring up, open mouth, at the empty sky, they recognize that what the disciples are feeling is exile. And they minister to them. Jesus ascending into heaven is not really about cosmology. It's about the human heart. what it is to be bereft, what it is to be alone, what it is to have lost all your moorings in a way of life that you depended on for so long. One of our friends, pastor in this conference, Steve Garness Holmes, wrote a little bit about that feeling of bereftness of the disciples and us. He wrote, "There are those times when you have lost what you loved, when you gaze up into the empty box of the sky and the emptiness comes down around you like a blanket, a bell, and your gaze can't pierce the thick silence inside the bell. Even the deepest faith doesn't round off this world's sharp edges, its losses and traumas. Holiness often lives in the blank of sorrow, the empty chair. It's all right to stand there and gaze. Before the wind begins to shift, before the bright strangers speak, they know. They hand us a tissue." I love that. God gives us a job, even in the midst of COVID, but the angels hand us a tissue first.
Yeah, that's a wonderful image. The piece of the scripture that grabs me is before the angels, and it's when Jesus comes to them and they rejoice to see them. And then they say, "Now, Lord, is now the time for you to restore the kingdom?" And I used to think Jesus must have thought, "Oh my gosh, you guys still don't get it." Mm-hmm. But again, I hear scriptures differently now. I think happy as those apostles, as those disciples were to see Jesus, their lives were still defined primarily by the fact that they were occupied by Rome. Mm-hmm. The oppression of the Roman Empire was a daily, minute-to-minute reality for them. And so they were glad to see Jesus, and they said, "And now? Mm-hmm. And now do we get to be free?" Right? One of my friends who lives down in the Bronx, she and I were texting back and forth about, it was raining in New York yesterday, and I was saying how lovely it was here and how jealous I was of her because we so desperately need rain. And at least in Essex, we do. I don't know about Morrisville. And she wrote back and she said, "Yeah, it's dry here. Even after the rain, my soul is still dry." Her phone corrected, "My soil is still dry." It auto-corrected it to, "My soul is still dry." And I think that's exactly how those disciples felt. Like, "Jesus, we are so glad you're back. Our souls are still dry," right? And it feels to me like that's where we live too. I mean, we're in the last Sunday of the Easter season. Next week is Pentecost. This is the 7 weeks of rejoicing. And yet our souls are dry. And if Jesus were to show up today, I think we would be like, or one of the questions we would say is, "Now do we get to go back to church?" Right? "Now do we get to have life be like it used to be?" That's the question that people always have in hard times. Those disciples had been, Israel had been in and out of exile for 600 years. They were hungry for that restoration, even hungrier than we are. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty hungry.
Yeah. Under Rome, Israel was in exile at home, just like we're in exile at home under COVID. The reading that Hope read a little earlier from Jeremiah 29, that was exile away from home, exile in exile. That reading, just briefly to give you historical context, this was a few years after 587 BC. That's a key year in Jewish history. 587 was when the Babylonians, the big imperial power, destroyed Jerusalem, burned the temple, and carted off the people in chains into exile in Babylon. We get the feel for that in Psalm 137. known to many of us from a lot of reggae songs, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. How do we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Was the heartsick refrain going on in them? Did they have hope of ever going back? And did they have a timeline in their heads, thinking that maybe this Babylonian exile will just be for a few Sundays, and maybe they could get by with some Zoom meetings and Facebook Live worship, and everything could get back to regular. And Jeremiah says, no, man, it's going to be 70 years for them. I hope that's not the case now.
We'll all be dead.
But Jeremiah says what they need to do is reframe who they are, not try to frame a timeline, but to reframe who they are, to get back to basics of their identity. What is it to be God's people without Jerusalem? What is it to be God's people without a temple? God will make things right, Jeremiah says, but it won't be on your terms or by your timeline. What God will do is help you use this time to grow and to deepen and to be transformed more and more into God's people. I think Jeremiah, to use modern sociology language, would say, don't get hung up on some kind of technical fix of how you're going to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. You don't worry about what internet platform that's going to be. Instead, look around you and see how it is you're going to live. Yes, we're in Babylon. Yes, we're in exile, but recognize and remember who and whose you are while in exile. And so Jeremiah tells the people who are devastated and sad and angry, they're living among their captors. And Jeremiah says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters, but seek the welfare of the city. Seek the well-being of the city of your captors, where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its well-being, you will find your well-being. And we've said it for the last 7 weeks. The time of COVID is, spiritually speaking, a time of exile. We miss so desperately our normal ways of being, of playing, of worshiping, of working. We have in our heads, when do we get back to normal? And our state and national leaders keep trying to assure us of, oh, it'll be normal here, or it'll be normal here. Well, we don't know. But we want to know, when do we get to sing the Lord's song the way we know how, in church? We want to hear a choir. We want to hug our friends. We want to hold hands in prayer. We want to share a common loaf and cup. And it's easy to get caught up in wondering about an opening date, a back to regular schedule. But Jeremiah says, that ain't our call, and it shouldn't be our focus.
And I think that's what Jesus tells the disciples too. So when they say, is now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom? He says, that's not for you to know. That's God's time, which I think is another way of saying God will make everything right, but it's not going to happen on your schedule. It's not going to happen on your time, not on your terms. And then he says, here's what you can know. The Holy Spirit will come among you. Will fill you with power, right? He says, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth and in Judea and in Jerusalem. You'll be the ones saying that God will make things right, even if it's not on our terms. Mm. That's what he promises the disciples. And until then, he says, get ready. And I think that we live in this in-between time. I believe God is going to make things right, but I'm not at all clear that it's going to be what it used to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not at all clear that it's going to be on our terms. And that while there are many things that we're adding through this time that we want to keep as additional things that we do after we, quote, go back to normal, unquote, mm-hmm. I think there's also going to be subtractions that we may not like. And that's just going to be part of what is what's coming before us. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the question is, what do we do in this in-between time? What do we do so that we seek the welfare of this time? How do we partner with God right now in the middle of the COVID quarantine in ways that start to make things right now?
I think that term partnering with God is so crucial because we can get practice partnering with God in an arena where we don't have control. Because once we're back to normal mm-hmm. and we're back to the stuff we know, then it's really easy to take control over it and leave God out of the equation.
Right. Right. And so one of the ways God uses us to teach us is to say, you're going to have to remember me mm-hmm. while we're doing this because you don't know how to do this.
We're in the deep end, man.
Right. And so we're going to have to rely on God to hold us up. And people are already doing this, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there aren't graduations and there aren't birthday parties and celebrations, but there's drive through and drive by birthday parties and graduation celebrations. It's not the same thing. And it's not, maybe it's not enough, but it's what we can do with what we have, right? There are Zoom funeral receptions because the beloved can't gather together, can't travel. And even if they did travel, couldn't come together in one place. People are cooking for their neighbors. They're checking in on lonely folks that they wouldn't have done before. We're supporting folks out on the front lines. In New York City, every day at 7 o'clock, folks get out on their balconies and they applaud for the healthcare workers as they're walking home from their shifts. There are ways that we are already living into the new possibilities of connection and of affirmation that I think God will pull out of this in the long run. Mm. And so we have some suggestions about some specific ways that all of us can live together or can partner with God in this in-between time.
One of the pieces that we're starting both our churches is a badly named team called the Re-entry Team. And I think we need to change the name of that because it really makes it sound like we're really aching to get back to normal, to go back to re-entry into our churches. But the teams we're gathering are people from different demographics within our churches, different skill sets from music folk and teachers and parents and healthcare workers, all to bring their wisdom to bear. But wanting to change the question from when do we go back to normal to how do we operate now? How do we move our gaze from what we think we've lost to looking around at what the world needs from us? What is it to be witnesses? Not staring up at what we've lost, but looking around to what the world needs. Mm-hmm. We have been gifted by Jesus with a blessing and a call to be witnesses and a promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to energize us, to inform us, equip us, excite us, send us to the ends of the earth and to our next door neighbors and to our family for the living of this hour, as the hymn says.
So creating a re-entry team or whatever we end up calling it.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we're partnering with God.
Right. I started preaching there. Sorry.
You did. That's okay. It's a worship service.
Right.
And you're a preacher. Right. And then I want to suggest another way that we can partner with God right now. If you read just a couple of verses later in Acts, it says that after the angels spoke to the disciples, they went back to Jerusalem and they went back up into the room that they had been staying in, the upper room. It names who all the disciples are. And then it says, all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with the women. constantly devoting themselves to prayer. So Jesus had promised them that the Holy Spirit was coming back. And so they decided that they would go back to Jerusalem and pray like crazy and wait for the Holy Spirit. And so I want to suggest that we intentionally in our congregations devote ourselves to prayer. I think we do already. I'm sure we do already. We share prayers in the times that we get together for meetings, when we're gathering, when we're doing the spiritual reflections here on Sunday morning. I want to also suggest another way that we might pray intentionally during this in-between time. And that is for us to pair up with one another as prayer partners for a time. So if we were meeting together in a sanctuary, this is what I would do. I don't know if this is what you would do, but this is what I would do. I would have a big box, and I would have everyone put their name on a piece of paper and put it in the box. And at the end of worship, I would have everyone draw a name out of that box, and that would be your prayer partner. Because there's something divine and Holy Spirit inspired about having a prayer partner that isn't someone that you automatically choose. I'm not saying you can't choose someone to be a prayer partner, but there's something, there's the Spirit works in those unusual combinations sometimes. Now, obviously, we can't do that here. And so this is what we would like to suggest to you. If you are willing to be paired up with another person or a family or something in the congregation where you worship, either in Morrisville or in Essex, or if you're listening into this from some other place and you would like to be paired up with someone else who's also listening in or someone from the congregation, I invite you to send in a comment on the Facebook stream just saying, I'm in, or I'll pray, or count me in, or sign me up, or partner me up, or whatever you want to do. Somehow send a comment on the Facebook page this morning. And what we'll do is we'll pair you up with someone, and we'll let the two of you all, we'll let both parties know that you're paired up. And then however you want to pray is up to you. Some people get together and they pray over the phone. You're absolutely welcome to do that. I know of two folks in the Morrisville congregation who call each other up and pray the Lord's Prayer together on the phone almost every day, right? You might send each other by email or text prayer requests that the other person could have for you, and you'll pray privately yourselves. If you're part of a family, and especially if you have children in your family, for those children to know that this is someone who's going to be our prayer partner for a while, and we're all going to pray for them as a family. That's the kind, those kind of prayers are like an invisible web that's just full of the Holy Spirit, and that brings the congregation together and draws us tighter, fills us with more Spirit, and makes it possible for us to be an even more connected body of Christ. And so that is something that we invite you to take part in, to be praying intentionally with each other, as well as praying in other parts of our lives.
I think outside of prayer, another way that we can really be witnesses in the midst of exile is those times we are outside in the world, is to be really, really cognizant of how it is we are around them. And this is really hard because everyone's wearing masks and all you can see are little eyeballs. Do your best to do your smile eyes if possible. But the other piece is really being fully present with another person when we are with another person, 6 feet away, socially distanced, and all that good stuff. One of the things we do when we see someone, whether we know them or not, is do a nice, easy, how you doing? But how you doing requires the other person, because of social norms, to say, oh, doing okay, doing fine. Can't complain. It forces them to minimize what's happening. If you have the time, and if you can really be present, try these words instead of how you doing. Ask, how are you coping? It assumes
there's a place of hurt, and everyone's got it. All of us have that. And they can grab onto that if it feels safe to them to be able to say, wow, you got it. Here's how I'm coping, or here's how I'm not coping. And allow both of your hearts to be present to one another. Don't ask this question if it's someone who's walking by, because if you're really present to them and they're present to you, you might be there for 5 or 10 minutes. It echoes the founder of United Methodism's, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, a question he used to ask his small groups when they were checking in was, how goes it with your soul? Not how you doing, but how are you doing inside? So I invite you as part of this exile exercise of being witnesses and of working for the welfare of our city is to be really present in the way you ask greetings, ask questions, and greet folk for real.
I think one of the gifts of this COVID time has been that our schedules have gotten unglued a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that there aren't plenty of things to do, and it's not that some of us aren't super busy still.
Right.
And yet it's not quite the frenetic treadmill it was. And so it feels to me that there is more of a space to say, how are you coping? And to really listen, which is partnering with God. Right. It helps things not just be on the surface, but for people to know that we really care.
Even though we're not always as frenetic, because we don't have the framework we're used to, it always feels chaotic. And right. And being able to give a heartfelt greeting of how are you coping creates a framework of
connection
that someone can grab onto, even if they can't do that with schedule or place.
So you were speaking earlier about the angels coming to the disciples while they're staring up at the sky.
Yep.
And saying, you know, men of Jerusalem, why are you looking up at the sky? There's plenty for you to be doing right here. I imagine those angels coming to us while we're staring at our buildings, right?
I want to go in.
That's right. I just want to do a shout out this morning to Hope Sturtevant, who once again has put a beautiful banner out on the front doors of the Morrisville Church. Mm. We're letting the community know that the church is alive and well, even if we're not inside it. And Hope, that is such a great witness. And yet, we're still looking at the building. We're still wishing we could see the light from the inside of the windows and just from the outside of the windows. Again, I think those angels come to us and say, body of Christ, why are you looking at your building? Jesus is all around you. There are all kinds of places for you to work and be in ministry. So go and partner with God right now. Seek the welfare of God's people right where you are right now. And even as they charge us to do that, as Steve Garness Holmes says, they understand our pain. And so before we leave, they hand us a tissue and say, you might need this along the way. That's where I believe that God and the Spirit, that all that is holy, finds us right now, acknowledging our pain and calling forth from us another way to live.
Jeremiah has words of comfort in the midst of a letter that is pretty tough for the most part. But in the midst of it, God says to the people, describes the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not your harm, a future with hope. We may feel like we're standing on the outside of our church buildings, yearning to go in, but the future bright with hope is one that's outside the church building.
And we'll at some point
We will go back. But knowing that there we are always sent out. We used to have a wonderful program at Essex called Church Has Left the Building. On fifth Sundays, we would go out into the world recognizing that church means the sent out ones, ecclesia. We're on full time. Church has left the building now. And God has plans for that. And God has a future for that. God will sustain us. Exile is finite. Exile has an end. And beyond the exile, God has a future for God's people, a future bright with hope, with love, compassion, and mercy, a future that includes us, that includes you. So go into God's future, even in the midst of exile, knowing the divine is with you, in you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. I want to share, we want to share a piece of music with you this morning that was written by a friend of mine, Andy Clarkson, who's the choral rector of St. Paul's Episcopal Church Choir in the Boston area. Andy is a spectacular composer, and for those of you who are musicians, he can do things with unusual chords like nobody I know. And so he and his choir have put together a piece where that's essentially Kumbaya or Come By Here, only with notes in it you would never have imagined. And so we invite you to listen to that for a couple of minutes. Again, if you want to send prayer requests, please do that during this time, and we'll lift them up during the prayer time afterwards. So please enjoy this music.
Our prayer today for prayers to the people is a prayer song from Ghana. And I invite you to join with me in an attitude of prayer. Then we'll share some of the prayers we've gotten online. And then we'll share the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Journeying God, pitch your tent with mine so that I may not become deterred by hardship, strangeness, doubt. Show me the movement I must make toward a wealth not dependent on possessions, toward a wisdom not based on books, toward a strength not bolstered by might, toward a good not confined to heaven. Help me to find myself as I walk in others' shoes. And it's walking in others' shoes that brings us to lift up those other folk who hurt, who feel unmoored. So this day, we lift up the family of Anne Kennison, one of our dear saints at Essex who passed away on the 23rd. We pray for June, who lost her mom last week and will be undergoing foot and shoulder surgery this week.
From the Morrisville congregation, we continue to hold Amanda Parker and her family in prayer at Bob's passing a week ago. We continue to pray for Betty Harvey, who is at Copley and gradually nearing the end of her life. We pray for Neil Fisher as he heals from pneumonia. And we lift up Mae Cornegay, Ray Tascarella's sister, who's a nurse in Pennsylvania who's recently been diagnosed with COVID. We lift up the family of Betsy Morse, Burr Morse's wife, who passed this last week. We ask for prayers for Lance Richard in these difficult days of struggle for him. And Stacy Wiley Jones has asked that we pray for all those who struggle with cancer, especially your friend Kyle Buttis. And Judy Bickford asks for prayers for the family of a 14-year-old boy from Williamstown who died on Monday. And we lift up all those in prayer who have lost dear ones to death and for whom the commemoration of that time is challenging and fraught. And all those affected by COVID through their own health, through the health of those they love, through their work, giving thanks for all those who are helping, asking that we too might be your helpers. And we lift all of this to you, God, with the words that Jesus taught to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thank you again, all of you, for joining us. And a few announcements as we get done. You know this is a church service because there's announcements.
We have announcements.
And for some reason, there are a lot of them this week. So please bear with me. A message from Deb Iacovone that she has a couple of boxes of non-perishable food that were left over from the food drop yesterday. And if you know someone who could use those, to give her a call. Also to say that the Morrisville congregation is creating a reentry team, and we're looking for folks who want to be part of that, particularly if you're of the elderly population, as we say, parents of children right now, somebody with some medical experience, a teacher. Really, we're looking to see who might be willing to be part of that. I'm going to start gathering the names for that team on Tuesday. So drop me an email if that's something that you want to do. Suzanne wants me to let you know that on May 30th is going to be Green Up Day. And the Morrisville congregation is going to be working down in the Oxbow from 10 to 2 that day. So if you can come there at 10 and bring your rake and shovel and gardening gloves, bring a mask, they'll provide plastic gloves. And Suzanne and Judy and Hope will be coordinating that. Wayne Jones wants to let us know that he's going to be raising money for LACN. Their walk has been canceled, but they're still doing a fundraiser. So if you have a donation that he can make on behalf of the church, please mail that to him. The mailing address will be in the church newsletter that goes out on Tuesdays. The last announcement, Carol Olson has been furiously making face masks, and she now has them for anybody who is in need. So if you could just let her know or let somebody else know that they can contact her for face masks. And thank you for that, Carol. How about you?
Not so many, but our reentry task force, we have gotten folks on there, and we will be meeting on Wednesday night via Zoom at 7 p.m. And then there will be a pastor parish relations team meeting right after the reentry task force has their meeting. We are moving our virtual coffee hour from Tuesday nights to right after worship. And as soon as we finish up our worship service, I will be sending out the Zoom address for that, and we will start at 11 o'clock. That gets everyone time to go from the sanctuary downstairs into the coffee room area. So that will be at 11 o'clock. I'll send out the Zoom link in just a moment.
Morrisville too, we've shifted from Friday night to coffee hour at 11. And that Zoom link is already on the Facebook page. So if you scroll down a couple of posts, you should find it right there. We'll start at 11.
And we are starting a new Monday night Bible study starting tomorrow night. This is based, some of you have taken our Bible Project Bible study, which uses some wonderful animated work. And we are going to be doing that on Monday night at 7 o'clock. Studying the way of exile, which is exactly where we ought to be. And that has gone out on the Facebook pages and on the newsletter. I'll send it out again to keep it fresh for everybody.
So we'll let you go so that you have at least a couple of minutes before the virtual coffee hour to do whatever you need to do. Thank you again for coming and being with us and with each other this morning in our various places. And as we move from this to the rest of our week, know that God will make things right, probably not on our terms.
Or our schedule.
Or our schedule. And yet we know that God is good, and God makes all things work together for good for those who love God. This is the God that we know as Creator, as Christ, and as Holy Spirit, and this God is with us here and now and always. Amen. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
We'll have a little bit of...